Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Dustin Box. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
God's heart for you is maturity. Did you know that? God's heart for you is friendship. See, he offers it to you in the beginning of this thing. I love this. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. So abide in my love. He's telling you, listen, I want you to abide in my love. I want you to be in this place. See, when I was dating my wife, I wanted to hang out with her all the time, right? Me and my wife, we actually dated long distance. We were about 3.5 hours away from each other the entirety of our dating life. So we got to know each other long distance. We dated long distance. And that whole process, we got engaged long distance. I moved to where we were going to live 2 weeks before our wedding. So, yeah, that was really fun after we got married. We had a lot of work to do. But the point is this. There were things that I did not know about my wife until after we got married. There were things about her personality, things about her likes and dislikes that I did not discover until after we said I do. There were expectations she had, things that she would bother her or things that would hurt our relationship that I didn't discover until after we got married. There was ways of communication that were really toxic in our relationship that I had no idea about until after we said I do. Now, a year before that, had she given me a book and said, Dustin, I know you're interested. I need you to read this. And I'm gonna need to know if you agree to this before we start dating. And I began to read down this list. You are not allowed to be sarcastic in conversations. It's done. That one right there. Our relationship is over. I don't know how to not be sarcastic. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not gonna work. I need you to be willing to have people come by our house whenever you want. Listen, I know how Maine life is. I grew up in a warm culture. Kenya, everyone just stopped by at your house. But I'm going to tell you what, that was a new thing for me after we got married. When I come home and someone's in my parking spot, thank God this was 13 years before moving here because I don't care now. But what I'm saying is I'd come home in our condo and someone's in my spot. And I was already upset. I had a long day of work. I'm frustrated. I go walking upstairs and I'm about to open the door and be like, someone parked in my spot and unleash, right? The full intensity of my big forehead and angry eyebrows. And I open the door and her mom's sitting on the couch. I'm like, someone's parked in my spot. And my wife is like, it's my mom. Shut up. Like, you know, she's trying to be nice to her mom, so you know, or her friends or whatever. But listen, if there had been this list of all of these sorts of things, it would have been really challenging to continue our relationship. How many of you guys agree? Yes. It's just the nature of it. But there's this context that takes place is as we draw closer together. As we fall more in love, it becomes easier and easier and easier to compromise, to work together, to have an understanding. I have a context and a grid for why sarcasm hurts in our conversation. I understand that the intensity of my face is too much at times. And I learn how to not yell. I don't yell. I just speak with intensity in my vocal cords, with lots of passion and no, does that make sense? Also, you begin to learn how to like, oh, wow, this really affects you. See, Jesus invites you into a relationship and says, listen, I love you. Let's be close. Look at what I did. Let's be close. Let's walk together. And then you begin to walk together. And the goal is through your closeness with him, he opens his heart to you. And based on your response, you determine the closeness and intimacy you have with him. Based on my response to my wife when she says, hey, that really hurt. You know, when you said that to me that way in that context, that really hurt. the way that I respond to that will determine the level of intimacy I have after that point. Not only does it determine the level of intimacy that I have, but it also begins to determine the level of trust that is built in our relationship. See, what happens is she extends a small measure of trust. She says, hey, the other night when you came home, this is like, you know, week one in marriage. You know, the other night when you came home and you were kind of upset about the car being parked in the parking spot. And I'm like, yeah, it's my spot. She's like, well, I really want to be able to, like, my friends come over. I don't want them to have to walk super far. I'm trying to be kind. Like you know where to park. They don't know where to park or where to go. I'm like, but it's my spot. I am giving to her. I am letting her know how much trust we have and how much she can trust me to open her heart to me. Do you understand? So then what happens is a little bit later, what happens, it creates a pattern where she begins to open up and I get intense and it shuts her down. Well, then over time, as you begin to continue your relationship in this context, now when real issues come up and she's like, wow, this is a tough one. You know, we don't really have money and I need to go grocery shopping and I don't, whatever. And I'm over at my dad's house and he's like, how are things going? And I'm kind of like, well, it's not going well. It's really tight. We don't have groceries, da-da-da-da. And he gives her some money to go grocery shopping. And then she doesn't tell me why, because she's afraid of how I'm going to respond to her. Because I haven't let her know that, hey, you can trust me. You can trust my response. You can trust my behavior. You can trust my choices. Are you guys tracking with me? And so then what happens is then groceries show up in her house and I'm like, well, where'd that money come from? I'm like, where'd the groceries come from? She's like, well, my dad, what? You asked your dad for money? Like, of course, as you know, it's my father-in-law. I got to impress my father-in-law and I married his daughter and we're struggling. And do you know what I'm talking about? This is early wed stuff. Don't worry, we're way past that now. The point is the way that we're walking with someone, really, the way you're responding to someone, the way you're responding when they kind of open up their heart to you a little bit, when they give you a little something, you are determining the level of relationship you have with them. See, Jesus does something very similarly. He says, come to me exactly how you are. Don't worry about a thing. See, his grace is truly sufficient. What Jesus did, he's so confident in his sacrifice, he truly says, you don't have to worry about a single thing. From this point, throughout eternity, don't worry, just come to me. See, God is actually confident in his own grace that he gets to give people. God isn't insecure. Jesus isn't walking around like, oh man, I'm gonna forgive them, but oh, I don't know what they're gonna do. What's gonna happen? He's not worried. Jesus wholeheartedly forgives you. He invites you into this place. Your response determines the level of intimacy that you get to continue to walk in with him. And we walk around, we're like, God, we wanna experience your love in this situation. I wanna feel your closeness. I need to know your will for my life. Or I don't know if I'm supposed to date this person or not date this person. And you don't understand that you have created distance between you and the one that you're seeking because of the choices that you are continuing to make day after day after day. And you're like, well, why isn't he convicting me? He's like, well, he probably was a lot. And your continual refusal to hear and listen to his voice begins to build a wall between you and him. See, Jesus invites us into this place, this closeness with him. He says, hey, will you go on this journey? I want to build trust with you. I want to walk with you so close that you're not a servant. I can tell you everything that's on my heart. I want to tell you everything that's on my mind. I want to tell you how I think about everyone, what's going on around the world. I want to just share my heart, my life with you. God is actually looking for relationship with you that way. And he offers it to every single person. The difference is how we respond when we begin to walk. When God stirs something up in your heart, he says, you're going to show your love for me if you can keep my commandments. If you can keep my commandments. Why? Because you're displaying the level of trust you have, he has with you. You're putting out, your actions are displaying how much trust he has in you. He's asking that question, can I trust you in this situation with this individual? Can I trust you to manage yourself in the midst of all of this chaos? Can I trust that you are going to remain strong when you begin to step into these situations? See, parenting is kind of similar in many ways. The level of freedom that my children experience directly correlates to the amount of trust that they build with me. And how do they build trust with me? Simple obedience. Now, it sounds controlling, but it's not, because my love doesn't change. My love for them isn't based on if they're obeying me, but the level of trust that extends to them is. Like, hey, when I say it's time to go, and you put on your shoes and you do it, I don't have to worry about you doing that, which means when you say, hey, can I go to my friend's house? And I say, yeah, make sure and call before you watch a movie. Check in with us what you're going to watch. I don't worry that you're going to do that, because you've already displayed that you just do, you know, you follow the rules. You're obeying simple requests. Are you guys tracking with me? Now, there's a whole other thing with that, and I don't want to go down that road. What I want to do is I want to call attention to the areas of our life that we have been neglecting following the simple invitation to love one another well. That Jesus is inviting us into relationship, and he wants to go deeper and deeper and deeper in relationship with us. That he wants to call you a friend. That I love, listen, I cut my teeth in renewal. Like 1990s people, like the whole like Toronto blessing and Pensacola, like all of that stuff. When I was a teenager, that stuff went all the way across the ocean to Africa. And I remember being in our church in the 90s in a soccer stadium on cement riser steps, the Holy Spirit flowing and people shaking and falling out on cement risers and nobody getting hurt. Like people like full on, like just the whole, like we're talking, our church was like 3,000 people, and it's like a wave would just like wash over and people just like being littered out. And so like in that sort of like refreshing, one of the things that was such an incredible like revival or renewal was the truth that God does want friendship with us. Do you know what I'm saying? That there's like this closeness and this intimacy that he wants with us, and that we get to be friends of God. But I want to call attention to the areas of our life that we have chosen to say like, I'm your friend, but I want to keep doing this over here. I'm just going to keep being sarcastic to you because it's too hard to change. Are you guys tracking with me? Now, it's a really simple and easy thing, because Jesus, the way he deals with us is exactly what we just practiced a little bit ago. He stands at your door, at the door of your heart, and he knocks and he says, hey, can I come in? And you're like, yes? It's like, great, that's all I needed. And he jumps in and he hangs out with you, and he actually invites transformation. He brings transformation into your life through intimacy. Through intimacy. One of the things that I want us to do, we're going to do in just a second, is if you've been struggling with an area of your life, whether it's like a sin type area of your life, maybe there's like some sort of like repeated pattern of behavior, maybe you're struggling with like a relationship or like forgiveness with someone that you know, someone that you're close with. I do know how to talk. If there's that sort of thing that's happening in your life, there's this incredible thing where God actually wants to sit with you in that place. What happens is one of the things that you can do is you invite him in and you just simply like, God, what do you think about this? What do you think about this situation? What do you think about this behavior in my life? What do you think about this? And what happens is there's this verse. I don't have the reference. I'm really sorry. But it says that he wants to lead you with his eye. And what that refers to is he wants to lead you not with rules or with the rule book, but he wants to lead you with connection. He wants to look at you and you get to see like, wow, this is how my choices are affecting our relationship. This is how you think about them. This is how you feel about this situation. This is how you feel about this person that's betrayed me. And you invite that into your life and it helps shape and reframes the situation that you're going through. And it's the starting point to breaking patterns, breaking things, enabling you to step into forgiveness, enabling you to change patterns of your life. See, shame drives repeated patterns in your life. I'm gonna say this again, shame in your life will drive repeated patterns. See, what happens is shame, one of the things that shame does is it attaches mistakes to your identity, right? So you didn't just lie, you're a liar. But the problem with that is that when you go to get help, when you're like, man, I've really been struggling with lying, the very thing that you need, which is someone to come in and walk with you, shame drives a wall where you're like, I can't tell you that I lied because then you're gonna think I'm a liar and I'm not a liar. I don't wanna be a liar. And there's this, like this catch where the very thing that you need to bring you out of that pattern, out of that behavior is actually what's driving you from that very place of help. And so it creates this place of separation that then just drives the repeated behavior. You don't actually get the help that you need. And Jesus is standing at the door of your heart waiting for an invitation to come into those places. And what happens is when you experience his love in those places of your life, it begins to set you free. It disarms that pattern. And not only do you get to step into freshness with him and like a renewed place with him, but it enables you in those places that you need to step in and get help from someone else. Because that place in your life has already been now with Jesus. Are you guys tracking with me? I'm not using notes, and so you're just gonna have to follow along. I'm really sorry. So what I wanna do is we're gonna just play some music. Yes, he's ready. And I wanna just practice this tonight. Is that okay? Can we do that? So here's the thing, I wanna encourage you that one other thing I wanna say, just to clarify. When we talk about being a friend of God, and we talk about following his commandments, there are lots of commandments, right, that you could try to conjure up. And like Jamie preached this morning, which is amazing, right? It's resting on two things, right? Loving God and loving your neighbor. One of the contexts that I want you to see is when you get really good at loving your neighbor, one of the ways that it develops trust with God is that he sees that he can trust you with the other people that he loves. Are you guys tracking with me? The way that it begins to develop trust with God is that he sees you display his heart to people and he says, wow, I can trust that you're representing me well to these other people that I love. See, he loves other people too. He wants to be friends with all of the other people in the world. And when you are not displaying that to them, it also affects your connection with God because those are also people that he loves. And there's like this sort of like trust circle, if you could imagine it. Where when you begin to love well, God sees it and is like, oh my gosh, that's how I love them. Look at that. It's the same feeling you get when someone comes up and your kid's freaking out and they're like, oh man, I love your kid, man. Your kid's amazing. And you're as a parent, you're like, oh, you're my best friend now. I love you. Let's hang out. Or when someone comes up like children's workers, if you volunteer in kids ministry, man, you wanna earn some amazing equity with parents as you learn how to talk about how amazing their kids are to those parents. You don't talk about, oh man, they were screaming today, they were doing this. No, you just, dude, you know what's amazing? Your son tonight, when they were hanging out over there, I saw him go over and help that kid get a toy to him. And he was sharing his stuff. As a parent, you're like, God experiences that same thing. And when you begin to love well, when you work through the forgiveness, when you work through the struggles and the situations that you're experiencing, it begins to develop a trust with the Father. And so what I want to do is I want to invite you into a place. If you're struggling with that stuff, if there's a pattern of behavior in your life, like maybe you really are like struggling in an area, maybe it's sin, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just something that you need to get out of, a way of talking, a way of relating to people. Maybe you really do actually are struggling tonight with unforgiveness with someone, a place of bitterness. I actually feel like that is, there's people in this room right now that are struggling with unforgiveness in relationships. I'm trying to be gentle in my invitation to you tonight. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to invite you tonight to be free from bitterness, to be free from unforgiveness.